Well, good morning, and thanks for being with us today. My name is Corey, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And today, we're beginning a brand new series in the Gospel of Luke called Labels. But before we jump into our study this morning, I want to talk with you about a few things that are going to be unique for this series. We've broken this series into thirds, and during the second third of this series, we are going to be praying Luke 10:2 that the Lord would send laborers for the harvest. During the final third of this series, we're going to be asking you to share what you are learning with someone else in your sphere of influence. But in this first third, we are going to be reading through the Gospel of Luke together as a church. And so we're going to officially start this on May 2nd. And our hope is by the end of May that all of us have read through the Gospel of Luke together. But we're also hoping that each of us begins to establish a consistent daily habit of reading the scriptures. And so to help out, we've got two ways that we are going to go about this. The first way is this right here. We've got these NIV Gospel of Luke journals that we have for you. And so if you're watching online, just let us know. We'd love to get one of these in your hand. It's got the scripture right in there, and you can journal right next to it. These are free to you, and we'd love to get that out to you. That is the first way that we're trying to get everybody just to read through the Gospel of Luke together. The second way is through a YouVersion study called Luke Explained. Now, you'll be able to see on the screen here in a moment a QR code, or you can look in the notes section of our app and click on the link. And if you already have YouVersion downloaded to your phone, it'll take you right to that study. If you don't have YouVersion downloaded, it will ask you to download that app first. But whatever route you choose, we want to just jump in on May 2nd, and we're asking everybody to read a chapter a day. We're going to take Sundays off since we'll be together as a church, and there's 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke. That means if we read one chapter a day, take Sundays off, we will get through the Gospel of Luke together by May 28th. Now, we're going to continue to go through Luke as a church together on Sundays through the summer, but you reading through the Gospel of Luke by yourself, you'll just be a little bit ahead of the curve. But when you're done, the goal isn't to just pat yourself on the back and just check a box off. When you're done, we want you to keep going. We want you to keep going in this consistent habit you've established in reading the scriptures. And so we're all going to go through this together. We're going to just help each other through it, and we're excited to do this together as a church. So that's where we're headed in this series. But for today, we are going to jump into the first chapter of Luke together. And as we move through the Gospel of Luke, we're going to see how Jesus interacted with people. Specifically, we're going to see how he interacted with those who were on the fringes, with those who were left out, with those who were isolated, those that people considered too far gone, too far from grace, how he interacted with those people who had labels on their life. And that's the big idea for this series, is that the gospel calls us to a life above labels. That the gospel calls us to a life above labels. Now, I think that big idea is so powerful. It's such a powerful big idea that we want to carry with us each week, because labels are something all of us have to deal with. Whether it's a label that we have from our friends, our family, the world, or a label that we give ourselves, right? Labels are something that we all experience. On top of that, We live in a world that consistently wants to push us into labels or categories, whether that's the logos we have on our clothes, whether that's how the world just deems those who are successful versus those who are unsuccessful, whether we're labeled as conservative or liberal or upper class or middle class or lower class, whether you're Gen Z or Gen X or a millennial or you lean to the right or you lean to the left, we see that we live in a world that's always trying to tell us who we should be. That we live in a world that's always trying to divide us and put us into categories and place labels on us. And if we're not careful, right, your labels can become your limits. That your labels can become your limits. My labels can become the limits that I place on myself. And so what we see within the first chapter of Luke is we read about a man named Zechariah whose label did just that. So let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Verse 10 says, and a whole multitude of people were praying outside at this hour of incense. What Luke does here, he introduces us to Zechariah and Elizabeth. They are this couple who loves God and is following God and who is righteous before God, and they're honoring God with their lives. And Zechariah, well, his job, he's a priest. And priests at this time provided services for the temple. And the priests at this time also kind of acted as intercessors between the people and God. And Elizabeth, well, she was actually a descendant of Aaron, who was Israel's very first priest. But in verse 7, it lets us know that they were both advanced in age and that Elizabeth was barren, that she couldn't have any children. And now this was a huge deal in their society, because despite their position, their righteousness, and how they loved God, despite Zechariah's role as a priest, despite them honoring God with their lives, right, they were labeled. They were labeled. They were labeled as the couple who could not have children. And we see that in their world during this time, that label, right, that label of having no children was a big deal, because it was viewed as, hey, there must be something spiritually wrong with you, that God must be angry at you. That's why he's not allowing you to have children. During their society at the time, it was viewed as a financial disadvantage, because as you got older, your children would be your financial support. They would be the ones who provided care for you. It was viewed in their society as it was 100% the woman's fault that they couldn't have children, so much so that men were allowed to divorce their wives to go find another woman who might be able to give them a child. So this is how they were categorized by their society. This is how they were labeled. So in the midst of all of this, verse 8 lets us know that Zechariah is chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, this was a huge deal. This was an extreme honor, because at this time, only priests from a certain lineage were able to go do this in the temple. And there were between 18,000 and 20,000 priests at the time. So this is why they had some kind of like lottery to select who would be able to go into the temple to do these things. And so a lot, or being chosen through that lottery, may only happen to a priest once in his lifetime. So to a godly man like Zechariah, right, this is one of the biggest moments in his life. This is just a monumental, defining moment in his life, a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so what Zechariah was supposed to do, he would go into the temple and his role was to burn the incense. And in the Bible, incense is often a symbol of the prayers of God's people. In Psalm 141, David writes, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you." In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding up a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So here we are. It's time for Zechariah to come serve. It's the hour of incense, as it says there. And Zechariah enters the temple. The people are outside praying. And verse 11 tells us that there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord." A few verses down in verse 18, it says, "Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel said to him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you good news.'" And verse 20 says, "And behold, you will be silent and you will be unable to speak until that day, these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." So upon entering the temple, here's what's going on with Zechariah. He's responsible for kind of changing out the incense, cleaning up the altar and offering fresh incense. And then his job is to pray for the nation of Israel. The scriptures don't tell us if he prayed for anything else at this time, but I think we do. We have to wonder, did he pray one more time? Did he pray maybe one last time for a child? Or was this a prayer that he gave up on a long time ago? We don't know. But what we do know is when he says amen and he opens up his eyes, right? He gets the absolute scare of his lifetime. There is an angel in the room with him. Now, my family and I, we love to watch America's Funniest Home Videos. And one of our favorite videos to watch is when people scare other people. I know we have a big problem with that, right? But this one here is Zechariah. Just imagine the scene if you were watching this on television, right? Zechariah's got all these emotions over this once in a lifetime opportunity. There's the importance of carrying out his role and doing it well. There's the holiness of the moment, the awe and the wonder. The room is dark. It's only lit by one lamp on a lampstand. And he says, amen. And suddenly he realizes he's not alone, that there's an angel in the room with him. Now, like most encounters with angels we read about in the Bible, the first thing that an angel has to say to a human is, hey, don't be afraid, right? And I'm sure Zechariah, after avoiding a heart attack, must have thought, oh my goodness, does this happen every time somebody comes in here? How come the other guys didn't tell me this was gonna take place? So he's there, but the angel says to him in verse 13, he says, "Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John," right? This is it. This is it. This is the moment, right? God himself has heard Zechariah's prayer, and God is going to answer this prayer that Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have a son. This is an answer to their lifelong prayer. This is the answer to a societal shift, to being seen differently, to future security and to future care. And so it says, Zechariah praised God. He rejoiced. He thanks God. He danced. No, it didn't say that at all. That's not what happened at all. Instead, Zechariah opens his mouth and says, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." In other words, Zechariah is saying, hey, Gabriel, like, are you serious? Are you for real? You're pulling my leg, right? Hey, Gabriel, do you know how old I am? Do you know how old my wife is? Do you know the label that's on us, right? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know who you're talking to? He essentially says, I don't believe you. Well, it's Gabriel's turn to speak, and Gabriel says, hey, hold up. Hang on a second, Zechariah, right? Like, do you know who I am, right? I stand in the presence of God, and God himself has sent me here to come to you. That, hey, what I'm telling you, it's coming straight from the top. That you prayed for a child, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a child. I'm bringing you good news. That this is all I'm telling you, and now you're going to question this? That you're not going to believe me? Gabriel says to him, listen, you're still going to have a child. God's still going to answer this prayer. It's going to happen. But listen, here's the deal for not believing what I'm telling you. You're not going to be able to tell anyone about it. That you're going to go, you're going to be mute. That you're not going to be able to speak. That you're not going to be able to utter a word out of your mouth until your child is born. I mean, think about this, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth's dreams. Their lifelong dream. Their lifelong long prayer. The social label is about to be stripped away from their lives. Zechariah is the first guy in 400 years that has heard from God. And he can't say anything about it. He can't walk out and tell the people that have been praying. He can't walk out of the temple and say, pull his priest buddies together and tell them what God is doing. He can't tell his friends. He can't even go home and tell his wife. See what's happened here? Is Zechariah has allowed his label to become his limit. That Zechariah has allowed society's label, the world's label, the label that he's placed on himself, the label of, hey, we are barren, we are childless, to become his limit on what God can do, to become his limit on what God would do. Now, let's just hit pause on the story of Zechariah for a moment. Let's just hit the pause button on that. Because before we jump all over Zechariah and be like, I can't believe how he could do this or how he could think that way, I really think we can relate. I know I can relate because so many of us are like Zechariah. I know so many times in my life, I am like Zechariah. That we let the world, we let society, we let other people, we let our thoughts, we let our past, and we let our doubts be the limit on what we think God can and will do in our lives. And if we're really honest with one another, publicly, and we'll put our best smile on. Publicly, we'll put on a good face. Publicly, we'll act the way we're supposed to act. But internally, what's going on in our minds, we're thinking, hey, because of who I am, God can't. That because of what the world says, God won't. That because of what society says, God will never. That, hey, if you only knew about that time in my life, there's no way God could. I can't. Because I'm not like so-and-so that my dad said, or my boss said, or my spouse said, or those kids at school say, or all of my failures say. Too many of us let our labels become our limits. And we let our labels limit what we think God can and will do. But today, here's the great thing. Today, we have the opportunity to break through those limits, to break through those lies, to break down those prison walls, to break out of those chains, to break through those labels, because it's time to no longer be held captive by those labels. Because here's the deal. Jesus transcends labels. That Jesus transcends our labels. that Jesus transcends the world's labels, that Jesus transcends people's labels, that Jesus even transcends the labels we place on ourselves. And Jesus transcends those things because he says in John 17:6, Jesus says, hey, I am not of this world, right? The Lord says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he says, for my thoughts, they're not your thoughts, thank goodness, right? Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher on earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I don't know about you, but I'm just so glad that Jesus is not of this world, that his thoughts are above our thoughts, that his ways are beyond our ways, that he transcends the labels that are all around us. And what we need to see is that in Christ, that because of the gospel, we are no longer products of our past, that we are no longer products of this world, that we are no longer products of our sin, that we are no longer products of our natural self, that in Christ, because of the gospel, we are now products of Jesus's finished work on the cross. And you say, hey, well, what do you mean by that? That, you see, without Jesus, without the cross, without his resurrection, we are limited by our labels. We are limited by being dead in our trespasses and sins. We are limited by being enemies of God. We are limited by being separated from God. We are limited by being of this world. But with Jesus, in Jesus, we are new. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. That with Jesus and in Jesus, we are part of God's family, that we have been adopted into God's family as his children. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, in Christ, we are sons and daughters of God. That with Jesus and in Jesus, we are made alive, spiritually alive. In Ephesians, it tells us we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but in Christ Jesus, we have been made alive. That with Jesus, we have a right relationship with God. That we were once enemies of God, but because of Jesus, through the cross, he has reconciled us to God. That with Jesus and in Jesus, he makes us an heir. It says you are no longer slaves in Galatians 4:7, but you are a son or a daughter and an heir through God. That through Jesus and in Jesus, we are blessed. It says in Ephesians 1:3, we are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And maybe my favorite, like in Jesus, John 15:19 lets us know that just like Jesus is not of this world, when we follow him, when we are in Jesus, when we are with Jesus, he says, we are no longer of this world. This is why Jesus transcends our labels. This is why the gospel allows us to lead a life beyond the labels. And it's so important. It's so important for us to learn that life, that living a life beyond labels means we live in and from what Jesus has done. That living a life beyond labels means that we live in and from what Jesus has done. That the gospel, that Jesus eradicates the labels we put on ourselves, and he eradicates the labels that this world tries to shove and stick on us. That living a life beyond labels means we live in and from what Jesus has done. But let's be real today, right? We may know that. We may believe that. We may even understand that these things to be true, but it's still hard, isn't it? We still struggle with it. Whether you don't know Jesus at all, whether you're a young Christian or whether you're a Christian for many, many years, that I can stand up here today and give this message yet still struggle with labels tomorrow. That you can listen to this message right now and just lean into it, but you could still struggle tomorrow. That we all feel the pull to return to those old labels in our lives. That even though Jesus gives us freedom from the labels, we all experience the tug back to the lies and the chains and the prison that the world is screaming to us the moment we stop listening and watching today. So the question is, before we leave today, how do we not lose sight of who we are in Jesus? How do we continue to live in and from what Jesus has done? How do we no longer give into the tug or the pull back into those old labels? How do we consistently live a life beyond those labels? Well, one of the best ways to consistently live a life beyond the labels is to take some of the Apostle Paul's advice from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where he says, "Do not be conformed to this world." He says, "But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect." See, the world places all of these labels and categories and groupings on us. And the world convinces us to place labels and categories and groupings on ourselves. But Paul says, hey, if we want to break free from what the world is doing, what the world says to us, if we want to live beyond labels, that we must renew our minds. We must renew our minds. That renewing our minds means we recognize faulty beliefs from our past, that we recognize faulty beliefs from the world, and that we even recognize faulty beliefs from ourselves that are not based on scriptural truth, that are not based on gospel truth, right? And what we see here is that the battleground between labels and liberty is in our minds. That the battleground between labels and liberty is in our minds. And the victory is found in the truth of God's word. I think Paul's words are so important to us. Because I know in my own life, and maybe you experience this in your life, how easily I slide back into those labels. Especially when I solely focus on, hey, how do I feel? How do I feel today? Or what does everyone else think about me? Or what do those past voices say? Or what does my past sin say? Or what do my faults and failures say? Or what do all my doubts say? Or what do all my circumstances say? And that quickly, I don't know about you, but it quickly moves me into, well, here's what I gotta do. Here's what I have to accomplish. Here's how I have to work. Here's what I have to earn. Here's how I have to make them like me. Here's how I need to feel approved today. Here's how I have to clean myself up. But what we see is Paul doesn't mention anything. He doesn't mention anything about breaking free from the labels in our life that comes from our feelings or our personal efforts. Because what we see is those things, our personal feelings and our own efforts will never allow us to experience the transforming power of God because it ignores the renewing of our mind. Paul shows us that the key to living a life beyond labels is not starting with questions. It is not starting with questions of what do I feel or what do I do? Instead, it starts with questions that say, what is the truth, right? What does God have to say? And how do we know what's true? How do we know what God has to say? I think back to John 17:17. It says, sanctify them with truth. Your word is truth. That the renewing of our mind comes from God's word. That breaking free from the labels in our lives comes from the truth of God's word. Therefore, it's really good for us to ask, right now, right here, right where you're listening, what's getting into our minds more often? The things of this world or the truth of God's word? Because you see, the answer to that question, the outcome of those questions, is the difference between a life limited by labels or a life living beyond them. So, before we close in just a moment, I want to come back to where we started. part of this is why we want to help everyone establish a consistent time in the Bible every single day. It's why we've got these Luke journals available to you. It's why the YouVersion Bible plan is available to you. It's why we're going to do it together, that you're not alone. It's because the Bible allows us to discern what is true and good and acceptable in our lives. And that a consistent time in the Bible allows us to know the will of God, and it allows us to know God himself. That is so amazing. That we need consistent time in the Bible because we need to be consistently reminded of what Jesus has done for us, that who we are in Jesus. We need consistently reminded of what we have in Jesus. And in doing so, that the truth of God's word strips away the labels of this world. The truth of God's word strips away the labels other people put on us. The truth of God's word strips away the labels we place on ourselves, and it allows us to live free in Christ. And here's what's amazing. Unlike any other time in history, we have God's word available to us in an amazing amount of resources. We have Bible apps. We can look at the Bible on our phone and our tablet and our computer. We have version after version. We can choose the chronological Bible. We can choose the journaling Bible. We could choose the wide margin Bible. We could even have somebody read the Bible to us today. You name it, it's out there for us. But listen, it does no good if we're not in it. It does no good if we don't open it. It does no good if it's just collecting dust. It does no good if we just turn to it once every 6 months or 6 weeks. But if we crack the Bible open and we begin to renew our minds with the amazing truth of God's word, that we begin to have certainty that the gospel calls us to a life beyond labels. Certainty that Jesus transcends the labels. That certainty that Jesus transcends the human labels that we have, the human divisions that we see in our life, that Jesus transcends the categories of our world. We begin to have certainty that Jesus calls us to identify with him. He calls us to identify with him as captives who have been set free, to identify with him as people who have life and life abundantly in and through him, as children of God, as heirs, as forgiven, as loved, as appreciated, as chosen, as unified. He chooses us to identify with him as those who can live a life beyond labels. That in Christ, we no longer allow the labels of this world to stick to us. That in Christ, we no longer are going to limit what God is going to do in us and through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much that the gospel goes beyond the labels of this world, the labels that people put on us, the labels we put on ourselves. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he accomplished on the cross, how he broke the chains and the categories and the groupings of this world. And he says, now you can identify in me as free, as forgiven, as a child of God. Lord, help us to lean into who you say we are. Lord, help us to lean into who we are in you. And Lord, help us to do that through finding you and meeting you through the truth and the power of your word. Help that to become a consistent time in our lives. And if someone's just listening and watching today and they are stuck in the labels of the world and they've never stepped over the line of faith to Jesus, today I wanna let you know that Jesus is, you can be free. That you can be free of your sins, that you can be free of your past, that you can be free of your self-doubt, that you can be free of this world if you put your faith and trust in him. So if that's you today, you can just cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, I need you. I want you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my past. Come into my life. I believe that you came and you died and you rose again. And I want to follow you. I want to find freedom in you. I want you to just be a part of my life so I no longer have to be attached to the labels that held me down. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.